You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about tree theory, stronger together, how a committed partnership results in a fruitful tomorrow.
Oh, fruitful tomorrow. Yeah. I like that.
It could be fruit for tomorrow as well as fruitful tomorrow. Okay. Yeah, it could be any of that. So I have a couple of quotations that are probably just me quoting myself, but
yeah,
these things I thought were kind of interesting to kick the show off with. But let's talk about why we're picking trees. And in a tree, we're thinking of breaking the tree as an analogy into triune love, the triune brain, and attempting to connect them to make it easier to think about. So what is the triune brain? Well, it was a concept that was proposed by neuroscientist Paul MacLean in the 1960s. So it's been around for, oh my gosh, 60 years almost now. Mm-hmm. It is a model of the brain's evolutionary development. It's just a model. It suggests the human brain is made up of three distinct parts, each representing a stage in evolution. The reptilian brain is that green part, the pistachio brain, the other word for it. I painted that green there in the picture in order to be, oh, it's green in our little model here too. Yeah. But it's green to represent reptile, right? Reptilian. It is the brain stem and the cerebellum. It is the part of the brain that is the autopilot. It's the fight and flight portion of the brain. It's the instincts and drives portion of the brain. And then the yellow part, which is the paleomammalian brain, which is the limbic system, is where emotions, memories, habits, and attachments form, like we were talking about before, in relationships. It's where the chemicals that, or the, what do they call it, the attachment chemicals, when they're released, that's where they impact us. And then the neomammalian brain, or the human brain, is the neocortex. It's that red portion. It's the outermost. And it is where language, abstract thought, imagination, consciousness, reasoning, and rationalizing take place. We're going to look at the brain, two brains, two trees. Tree theory is that trees are stronger when they're together, right? So we're going to start there. The picture of that would be the two trees, the two apple trees that are twisted at their trunks together in a strong, fruitful
connection.
Yeah. And on the other side of the page, we have two overlapping brains. At the base, we have the brain stem. In the middle, we have the limbic system. And at the top, we have the neocortex, which in essence is the root of the tree, the trunk of the tree, and the leaves of the tree. And going from root to trunk to leaves, coming out of that would be the fruit. So how do we get fruit out of a tree? Well, let's look at some of these interesting sayings here. A seed may root, its trunk may reach skyward, and its leaves may unfold, but a single tree bears no fruit. That's a quote I found. You know how I found it?
No.
I wrote it. We were talking about that when we were going to buy pear trees for our yard. We went to the store to buy a pear tree, and they said, oh, you can't buy a pear tree. You need a pair of trees. And I said, no, we don't want a pair of trees. We want a pear tree. And they're like, no, you need to have two. Like, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. Why did we need to have two trees?
Because they need to have each other.
They need to have each other. They want to talk. You know, they want to protect. They want to do these things. They want to fertilize each other, that mm-hmm. that there are some trees that are self-fertilizing, but in a lot of the cases, fruit trees, when you go to buy them, you need more than one.
Yeah, yeah.
And you may have to walk around and self-fertilize, shake the trees, whatever, do whatever, to get them fertilized. But a tree by itself may grow and may have leaves, but in terms of the pear tree, it wouldn't have fruit without that second tree.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of other things we've seen. You talked about, we plant a lot of trees in our yard. We plant pine trees and the pear trees and whatever those things were, the hollies.
Yeah.
And what we always find, right? What do we find? You plant three trees and what happens?
So the deer attack one.
The deer attack one and leave the other two alone. And it typically they attack the one in the middle. So you have a tree, and one in the middle, and it gets attacked. So if you plant one tree, typically the deer will go and kill that one tree. If you plant two, they usually, one of them may take more of the abuse than the other. And if you plant three or more, they usually go after one tree. When they say attack, this is typically the rut, right?
Yeah, they're eating.
They're rubbing their head against the...
Yeah.
And but in any case, when you have more than one tree, the chance of it surviving is much higher.
Exactly. That's the point.
That's the point. So what else
finally
do we have?
The point.
We get to the point every once in a while. Why are they stronger together? They get to face the weather together, leaning on each other when the wind blows. They protect and shelter, sharing the world's wrath, each taking a turn depending on the direction of the wind, where the weather's coming from, whether it's just really sunny, that each tree can shade the other slightly. And so just as that analogy is in a relationship, two people who are committed and share a lot of the same goals, can help protect each other and grow stronger.
So other important is some theory about the roof of the tree have connection.
Mm-hmm.
So can communicate. I read some kind of history about that and a study. So the same for couple, you know, and the roof you connect better deep versus in the top.
Just up top.
Yeah.
So you want to connect on all fronts.
Yeah.
The roots, the trunk, the leaves, and then you can bear fruit.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one more little quote here. There has never been a forest of one.
Okay.
Right? So, what was it? You can't see the tree through the forest? I'm sorry, you can't see the forest through the trees? Well, you can't see a forest with one tree, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, look at that tree. No, it's a forest. When does a number of trees become a forest anyway?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Is it one? No. Is it two? No. Is it three? No.
Nobody knows.
It's a forest. Maybe it's four. Could be. Maybe not. Let's continue on. So let's go back to the brain, and then we can associate the brain with the tree. Mm-hmm. And then we can associate that all with love and relationships. How about it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's look at that. So our little picture of the brain on the right there shows the three different sections of the brain. And we're generalizing. This is a, quote, theory of brain just to help break it down into components. But all these different parts of the brain are interrelated and connected to each other and impact each other. So they're not separated like... two computers in different rooms that don't have an internet connection.
Mm-hmm.
This is one smart system. So let's go back to this in a second. And what we want to talk about is the neocortex, which is the human part of the brain. We're going to talk about the limbic system, which is the emotional part, where a lot of the sad and happy come from, and the building of attraction. And then we will go into the reptilian portion of the brain, which is the deep down, dirty, instinctual, lustful part of the brain. And we're going to relate that all to a tree. So let's look at that. The neomammalian or the neocortex, which is that reddish color on the screen there, the top part, is what develops over time, especially as you mature and you have more and more thought. It's where rational thought and higher cognition, where those functions are performed in the brain. The paleomammalian, which is the limbic brain, which is that yellow section there, is where emotions and feelings are. It's where attraction is developed. It's where you have those long-term connections and what is that called? Connection. What's it called? Connection, where you start. Oh, it's once you go through the lust portion of a relationship, it's where you start actually having those infatuation, like your emotions are now controlling. So when you first meet somebody, you may have I just want to be with them because it's that instinctual part. The second part is you may become almost like addicted to them because the touch and other stuff dumps so much chemistry into your body, and that's the limbic system. And then over time, you get into the neocortex or the neomammalian part of the brain. And that is where you are thinking more and planning more and working with the other. Mm-hmm. So how does that all relate to the tree? And let's start off with the roots. Okay, how about the roots of the relationship? So we're not talking roots of relationship like how did it begin, but let's just talk about the tree itself, that we're going to liken the roots to the reptilian brain. We're going to put that at the base of the relationship, the reptilian brain. There has to be some kind of attraction, right? So that, definitely, that normal attraction. We're looking at instincts and drives, survival and reproduction. It's where lust and passion come from. It's where the testosterone and estrogen move us to this passion and lust.
Yeah, that's it, the animal instinct everybody has.
Yeah.
Oh, you smell.
A smell can set you off visually, a shape.
Yeah.
It can be something that you don't even know, like a touch in a certain way, a warmth, a skin texture.
Listen the voice.
Yeah. Yeah. It can do the opposite too. Oh, that voice!
So
it may
happen too.
It doesn't mean everybody attracts you, right? You're attracted to some people and not others, and some are attracted to many, and some are that attracted to few, right?
Yeah.
So, in any case, that is what we call the roots. The roots is that part. The roots of the relationship is how a relationship typically starts, is in that stage, in that lust stage, the root of the relationship. Then we move to some questions, which we'll answer now and later, but here's some questions. So if that's the root of the relationship, which is millions of years of evolution have put us in motion to be attracted in that way, to naturally have these attractions, how do you develop deeper roots? What leads to deeper passion? What is limbic suppression and how to avoid it? I made up that term, by the way, limbic suppression.
Okay.
Okay, so let's talk about this a little bit. Deeper roots. I think because the deep root, the lust and passion is instinctual, and it is part of our bodies, that connection comes from getting enough sleep, eating well, being physically strong, being mentally in good shape, is that we need to have certain things that are going well in our life that then allow this instinctual stuff to happen. Because I think people who are having and struggling with different areas of their own lives, maybe you're having a real hard time at work and you're trying to figure out where you're going to live, or there's these things that are in your life that are potentially messing up the ability for you to have a natural, normal, instinctual drive.
Yeah.
And also, the other piece of that, limbic suppression, is...
What does it mean?
We were talking about the limbic system is where the emotional connection and attraction is formed. If you don't start forming an emotional attraction with a person, or say you've been with somebody for a while and it's just not there, it starts to suppress even the lust that you may have for them. So you may have lust initially, and then when maybe that emotional connection is broken, doesn't occur, or goes the opposite way, like emotionally you just don't like them, it can suppress, your limbic system can suppress your lust and passion. So it's the next systems. You get the reptilian system that's saying, oh, I just want to be with someone because physically, instinctually, I want to, right? And you're not even really thinking, I want to. It's your body pushing you to do that. But then you have the emotional system shutting it down and suppressing your acting on your natural instincts.
Okay.
Does it make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the reason we do that is we're talking about each layer suppressing the next layer. So just like the limbic system can suppress the reptilian system, the neocortex, the thinking brain, can also turn into suppressing the limbic system. And the limbic system can then suppress
the reptilian. Okay.
So what can suppress the neocortex is external. So environmental, outside of the human person, can suppress the thinking brain, which can then suppress the emotional brain, which then can suppress the instinctual brain. Okay. Make sense?
Yep.
Okay. That is the roots of the system. You want to get into the next one? Well, we'll get into the next one, which is going to be the trunk of the relationship, growing together, when we come back on 90 Day Soulmate. In moments of gratitude, we notice the beauty in every detail, the smiles, the shining eyes, the teamwork, perseverance, and effort. These are the building blocks of the incredible mission Ayudaven supports. We've witnessed girls who joined the home as babies grow into confident professionals, certified in their passions and contributing to society in meaningful ways. Three inspiring stories from Ayudaven. Angela, who came to Muchos Manos at 3 months of age. She will graduate as a food and beverage manager with plans to open her own bakery. Maria, who joined Muchos Manos at the age of 9. Today she's in her second year of dentistry. And Mercedes, who came to the home at the age of 12. Now a dentist graduate, she works at one of Valencia, Venezuela's top dental centers. Make a donation today via Zelle at gym@ayudaven.org and celebrate the rhythm of hope, purpose, and unity that connects us all together.
Once upon a time, there was a couple and a newborn baby. Or should I say, a single mum. This brave young lady left her 9-to-5 job to follow her passion and started a consulting business. Her friends helped out. She travelled the world, met new people, and again came home. The woman dated to find a man who would fill her life and fit her plan. She met a guy who checked out ladies. That burned her up. That made her crazy. Other guys were full of verve. Into their self, no room for her. And one time she met a man with patch over eye and axe in hand. Then one day she had enough. Her little boy was all grown up, tired of attracting the wrong type of guy. It was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about tree theory, which is stronger together, how two people, just like two trees, are stronger together than they would be each on their own, if it is the right relationship. The wrong relationship, you'll be far worse off
together. You can grow too.
You can grow.
Yeah, because alone is more difficult to grow up.
So if you're looking at it as not like a romantic relationship, but just a relationship, then yeah, let's say, hey, if you're not relying on it to be the source of your love, but the source of support, and you are connected with somebody, it is easier to grow when you have the support of others.
Yeah, and also for learn yourself, because you are exposure with others. So if you are alone in one island for yourself, how you have a good relationship with somebody?
or with anybody, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Or a volleyball. Maybe you have a relationship with a volleyball.
Exactly. So
I will leave that alone because I had a little joke about that, but it doesn't go over well. because I know some of you probably were stranded on an island at one point in your life, and I don't want to offend anyone.
This is a movie.
Oh, it's a movie.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tom. I didn't mean to talk about it. In any case, mm-hmm. I want to go back to forests. We were talking about forests before a little bit. You know, when pine trees grow in a forest, their needles hit the ground and they drop whatever that pine oil is on the soil, mm-hmm. and it stops other things from growing, which is kind of, I think, what you're talking about. Like the roots sometimes are touching each other. The trees are talking. They can feel and understand when talking. It's like a chemical talk, right? Mm-hmm. We don't hear the tree whisperer.
The language, because you know,
the language, don't speak it.
Tree language.
Yeah, I barked the wrong tree.
Okay.
I don't know the language. The point of that is that the more pine trees there are, the more pine needles that drop on the forest floor, the more they stop other things from growing, the more that forest can stay sustained, right?
Because the nutrient is for the tree, not for the grass or any other ivy or whatever.
So anybody who has ever had pine trees in their yard, now you have to throw down, what is that stuff called, lime and other things to try to get fertilization under the trees. Mm-hmm. And you got to get those needles out of there, and it's a pain. I remember trying to do that, and you end up with like 1 square foot of grass, and then it just...
The shade doesn't allow the sun is grow up.
And then you put some water down, and it immediately goes through, because the ground is super soft under all those pine needles, and the water just goes right away from the grass, and then the grass is trying to eat into that soil, and the nutrients aren't there. And in any case, so the trees together are self-supporting, and they may self-support and protect from other things that are trying to evade.
Mm-hmm.
And again, no forest of one. So let's go into the trunk of the relationship. The trunk of the relationship, growing together, two people, in the limbic brain. So we're going to talk about the emotional connection. We're going to talk about comfort and pleasure, which leads to attraction, intimacy, infatuation with each other and the relationship. Dopamine, norepinephrine, and serotonin are the chemicals that are released in the brain in this trunk section of the relationship. So this is where you're building the attraction.
Okay.
And you have to have the attraction to want to continue on with the relationship.
Yeah, the intimacy is so much important, because
it
also create trust, create, more commitment, because it's like that you be exposure for your own with somebody.
Mm. So there are a lot of people who maybe meet and have a one-night stand, and that's in the root or in the lust stage of a relationship. But they never get to the attraction stage. So maybe they have that, and then they feel and they think about it, and they're like, really, I don't feel like I have to see them again.
Mm-hmm.
Where other people are like, oh my gosh, whatever that connection was, it was so strong and profound, I need to see them again. And that's where we're talking about the attraction part, or now here the trunks are starting to support each other and grow together. They're getting connected. Let's look at that from another standpoint. The trunk of the relationship growing together, how to develop a stronger trunk, what leads to deeper attraction, and what is neocortex suppression and how to avoid it. So leading to stronger trunks is spending more quality time together, having more of an emotional connection, conversation.
Yeah. So the communication is the tool. So you can have this relationship, but if you don't share your thought, your mind, your plan, your routine, the tree start to...
So this is where the neocortex, the thinking mind, actually plays a role, is that as you communicate more in this portion of the relationship, in the connection portion, in the intimacy portion, where you are wanting to be close with the person, and now you talk and share more, this is the opposite of what I call neocortex suppression, is that you're expanding your neocortex together with the other person, which opens up the limbic system to being more receptive to feelings of passion, to feelings of intimacy, for developing longer longer want, the want to be together longer.
Yeah, yeah.
So that would be one way. We have the other, and the last thing that we're going to talk about in the tree is the leaves of the relationship, which we call the mental, the neocortex brain. We were just talking about that. Touch and deep connection. So we're not talking about touching as far as like the limbic system touch, where when you touch, you release different chemicals. We're talking about connecting in the mental way.
Mm-hmm.
Is that when you connect in the mental way, you're developing a brain connection. And you've heard us talk about that. We each have developed our brains as we talk to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And our brains are actually become growing together. They become intertwined, kind of like the leaves and branches of a tree that are growing next to each other. When they become they become linked, where they are hard to separate, is because your thoughts have been closely aligned with each other enough that you almost know what the other's thinking.
Yeah, and also it's like that we have one exercise today when we try to prepare this topic,
mm-hmm.
and we practice like I do three idea, you do three idea when we open the paper.
Very similar
the three ideas. So that is part of this kind of brain connection.
And I'm actually going to share that, but it's not going to be shared exactly how we wrote it. It's going to be shared at the end of this presentation, which is the three things I thought is why, or the three things that I thought were the reasons why I had been attracted to Lizette long term, and she the same with me. What were the reasons that...
Say why we are together.
Yeah, why?
Why we want to keep going.
Why did you want to know why we are together?
Because I have in your brain. Part of my brain.
So let's see what else we have on that. We have the long-term attachment. That's where the leaves are, is that as you connect more and more so with the brain, this is the neocortex, the thinking brain, this is where that long-term attachment is. It's where the oxytocin and vasopressin are released, and those are long-term attachment chemicals. The point of this is we did another show many, many months ago where we talked about a study done where they could tell what relationships were going to last for a long time by showing one of the people in that relationship a picture of their partner. And when those people released feel-good chemicals in their brain just from looking at the picture, compared those to those who looked at the picture and they really didn't show any response, they could still see that there was a positive chemical release on couples that were still attached, attracted, and passionate. So it was related to when you feel passion years later just by looking at a picture of your partner.
Mm-hmm. We have that.
So, yeah. So that's great. And it's really neat. It's really neat to have that. But part of this is, or end part of that is the communication. Is that if you don't have communication, if you have a lot of stuff you can talk about and do talk about, different subjects, and you're open to discussing them.
And also, it's not just communication. It's a deep communication. Because you can talk all day about politics, the weather, or how loose like the grass. But if you talk about how you're feeling, how you handle stuff, that's create the real connection.
That's true. When you talk about real life things.
Yeah.
And what are we doing, and how are we doing this, and what are we doing next week? And oh, this just happened and that wasn't so good. How are we gonna handle it?
Mm-hmm.
And being able to talk about the difficult things, which sometimes is difficult to talk about.
But never broke the bridge if you don't agree with the other person. So the bridge of communication, based upon you don't agree, you need to keep, because if you broke, you lose.
That is true. What is the one thing? Sometimes we have this, is if we think the one of us is upset at the other, or we hear something that's upsetting, sometimes we will just respond, "I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying," rather than reacting. Lizette has done a lot of that with me.
what I do?
I don't understand. Can you repeat yourself?
What did you say?
Which is something to learn, is that if you want a communication tool, if you and your partner tend to be sarcastic or sometimes make a comment that's hurtful, rather than reacting negatively to it, you can always say, I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying, which hopefully doesn't come across as sarcastic, but just, hey, can you say that again? I'm not sure what you said. That gives the other person time to go, oh, maybe I said something that's hurtful. So a lot of times we say things that are hurtful and we don't mean to say them. And this at least is a way to avoid the reaction and go back into the thinking mind rather than the emotional mind. So it's, if we live in the limbic system when we're angry, rather than try to move ourselves back into the neocortex, the thinking system allows us to reprogram our limbic system. Our limbic system, when it's in a really good way, when we're in loving feelings, when that vasopressin is being released, when those long-term bonding chemicals are being released, guess what? It also helps reprogram the reptilian. Mm-hmm. So it's the opposite of suppression. It's the expansion. Yeah. Expanding the thinking brain expands the emotional brain, which expands the passion brain.
And it's the second opportunity for both. So when I say, I'm sorry, say it again, mm-hmm. I understand that maybe you are upset and that you say something that you don't want to say, but you are emotional moment, and then you have time to recollect, recalculation, and then we need to be flexible to have the second opportunity to listen. Okay. If the second time you say the same, I say, okay.
Well, and there's two things. You said there, it dawned on me that it is for both people.
Yeah, it's
because
for both.
Because if we're both upset, mm-hmm. I may say something a little bit wrong, but you may also take it the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And so by saying, hey, can you say that again? Maybe I restate more clearly what I was trying to say, and maybe it becomes across or comes across more lovingly, mm-hmm. and then you take it a different way than you did the first time. Yeah. So it's for both people.
Yeah, it's dual.
It's like tuning into a little bit different radio station, mm-hmm. so instead of static, it's clear, mm-hmm. but then instead of it being some kind of really awful music that you didn't like the first time, it comes back and it's something, a song you like.
Yeah.
You know, so it's an opportunity for both to correct the transmission, and correct the transceiver, mm-hmm. or the receiver.
In my case, I try to learn what is a typical use. I use my own technique. If something bother me, it's because something I need to learn versus like to become angry. So when something I feel I want to, something I need to learn here because I feel angry, you know? So
sure.
my emotion come down.
That is good. And when we come back, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go through a list of recommendations on things that you can do to strengthen your roots, your trunk, and your leaves, because as two trees grow together, become stronger, and weather the weather, handle the environment, work through problems together, it allows them to bear fruit, just like those pear trees, right? That you need a pair of pear trees. And you can't just have a partridge in a pear tree either. You need two of them, right? Anyway, when we come back, we'll talk more about it on 90 Day Soulmate. In moments of gratitude, we notice the beauty in every detail, the smiles, the shining eyes, the teamwork, perseverance, and effort. These are the building blocks of the incredible mission Ayudaven supports. We've witnessed girls who joined the home as babies grow into confident professionals, certified in their passions and contributing to society in meaningful ways. Three inspiring stories from Ayudaven. Angela, who came to Muchos Manos at 3 months of age. She will graduate as a food and beverage manager with plans to open her own bakery. Maria, who joined Muchos Manos at the age of 9. Today she's in her second year of dentistry. And Mercedes, who came to the home at the age of 12, now a dentist graduate. She works at one of Valencia, Venezuela's top dental centers. Make a donation today via Zelle at gym@ayudaven.org and celebrate the rhythm of hope, purpose, and unity that connects us all together.
tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Days Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about tree theory, stronger together, how our relationships are like trees and how we symbiotically, we can work with each other to have stronger relationship and have better benefits in life, that we can achieve more together than we can on our own. So let's continue and go on with a quick review. Tree theory, strengthening the roots, trunk, and leaves of your relationship. We're going to explore how human relationships align with the triune brain. That has been our theory for today.
Mm-hmm.
Visualize, look at a tree diagram like we showed before, showing the roots, the trunk, and the branches and leaves. Overview of the analogy, the relationships as trees. That's what we're talking about, that relationships are like two trees next to each other. The triune brain, which we discussed, is the reptilian, the limbic, and neocortex layers. The reptilian being the instinctual, limbic being the emotional, and the neocortex being the thinking portions of the brain. Again, a theory to help us think better about the brain. And what our goal is to strengthen the relationships through this understanding. Because all that psychology does in many of its ways is try to break down complex subjects into theories to make us be able to talk about them, understand them a little better, and maybe relate to them in a way that actually has positive results for us in our life.
Yeah.
Okay, let's continue on. So let's look at the roots again, the roots of the tree or the trees in rich soil. The reptilian brain is this portion of the tree. It's the instincts and drives. The role of testosterone and estrogen is in creating the lust and passion in the relationship. The importance of this is for survival and reproduction and for the basis of relationship formation. That many relationships form at the root, at the lust, at the attraction, the early attraction stage, which is chemical.
Yeah.
Next, let's look at strengthening the roots. So if you grow those roots, how do you do it? What are some of the strategies to deepen the roots? Building trust and stability, which then build the emotions, which then build the passion in the relationship. So you can cultivate your passion through shared experiences and avoid limbic suppression, as we said. Don't neglect the physical needs or the instincts to be together and have a physical relationship.
Yeah, some people say, I know it's difficult, I cannot handle the person, but when I see, touch me, I forget everything that we have. So that is the kind example.
So it goes back and forth, and you need to work on the positive aspects of that then.
Yeah.
Go back to the trunk now. Focus on the tree's trunk, which represents the growth of the relationships. The limbic brain, the emotions, the attractions, and intimacy is this part of the relationship. The neurochemicals that were involved are dopamine, norepinephrine, serotonin, and these are the things that are released in the attraction stage. So going from lust to attraction, where you're starting to build more of a long-term relationship. It's where intimacy is as well as infatuation. The emotional connection is the backbone of relationship growth. Mm-hmm. So now it's emotionally wanting to be with the person.
Yeah.
Maybe it's having to be with the person, right?
Yeah, the emotional intelligence in this part is really important, because how healthy you be connect with somebody emotional versus sick.
We were talking about psychopaths and narcissists and neurotic, that you have all these fringe personalities that make it hard to have a relationship. And so you have to look at, are you attracted to this type of personality and why? Mm-hmm. Because you don't see things that don't trigger you sometimes.
Sometimes I can see couples that have a thick emotional connection and stay longer. Yeah. So I don't say it's no, what is it called, the way that you cannot stay longer, but how much you want to enjoy versus suffering in the relationship. So it depends on everyone.
So maybe they're excited by the turmoil in the relationship.
Yeah.
And a relationship without turmoil, I don't feel the same passion.
Mm-hmm.
So, and long term, maybe it's bad, but short term, maybe they can't find a relationship that is, I'll say, boring, but they put the time in to the point where it becomes now passionate.
Yeah.
And that's tough. So let's go into strengthening the trunk. Ways to strengthen emotional bonds. Whatever those ways are, that can strengthen the trunk. So emotional bonds, maybe doing things together, going to a dance class together, going on vacation together, sharing and discussing more about feelings, foster emotional safety, allow each other to share the emotions, nurturing intimacy through consistent attention, be constant in attention, not overwhelming, but make sure they know you're thinking of them. Avoid neocortex suppression. Overanalyzing emotions, doing things in the thinking world where you're not thinking about the person, you're not planning growth activities together. And when you don't think of, again, the outer brain, and when your brain grows, when your brains grow together, it helps allow the limbic system to expand as well. The emotions and the caring for each other are natural results of thinking with each other about long-term planning and goals.
Yeah. And also that is healthy, you know what I mean? So reduce, relax. I have one conversation with a friend yesterday, and there is a many sister and brothers, and the family, I guess, is seven, and almost two or three brothers die already. So the woman, the care, so is alive. And I say, why do you think that? And she say, I guess it's a stress. My brothers is more stressful person because the life is not balanced, because it's always in bad relationship, bad economy, and both die in heart attack. So sometimes just thinking, also live longer, and I go to the tree. So if you wanna thinking a planning in the future with enjoy the life, maybe you need to start to figure out how you do that versus enjoy the excited stuff that make us stress.
Right. Enjoy life and try to get away from stress, which I was just reading something on glutamate before the show today, which was talking about exercise, and it actually helps your brain. Not only does it do that, but it helps take the glutamate out of your system that can feed. And we did a show on this as well, where it is one of the triggers to cancers, and that exercise actually fights cancer. At least that's a theory. And so there's some really good positive things about exercise. It can also help de-stress you. It can help make you more calm.
And
it's a great thing to do as an intimacy for a relationship. There's a website that lists 7 or 8 positive things of how couples that exercise together have better relationships. Did you know that?
We do. Yeah, we do.
So we talked about strengthening emotional bonds that way. Let's see what we have next. The leaves for long-term bonding. So the neocortex brain are in the leaves, as we talked about. If you remember the tree and the neocortex brain being the red portion of the brain being where the leaves are. So the green leaves reaching for sunlight is like the growth of the neocortex, or the brain growing with neuroplasticity is that portion of the brain. When you have touch, commitment, and attachment, and you have plans for the future, it helps release oxytocin and vasopressin, which are the long-term bonding chemicals, which also help relationship longevity, and also healthy, loving life promotes longevity. Like just your own longevity is promoted through these things as well. Let's go through our concluding recommendations. In closing, for the roots, build passion through trust and shared experiences. For your trunk, grow emotional bonds with open communication and intimacy. believes, commit to long-term goals and deepen connection. The final message here is nurture relationship for a lifetime of growth. It's on all fronts. When you can focus on those three, and that's why we divide it into three, the actual instinctual love, the lust, the passion portion, the emotional connection, as well as the thinking connection. Those three things can build a relationship from those three directions. Here we are going to talk about the last things, which were the three things we wrote down. We've broken it down into a couple of main points. And this will be interesting because we kind of didn't talk about this much at all before the show, other than sharing it with each other. So you ready for these?
Everybody.
Here we go. So self-reflection and growth was number one, and this was the summarized. So there are three slides. This is number one. We both agreed that self-reflection and growth were very important, that we engage in honest self-observation. We admit that past choices may have made for wrong, we may have made past choices for the wrong reasons, and embrace imperfection, strive for personal transformation. Understand that we're not perfect, but we can grow and we can get better. Continuous improvement.
Yeah.
That's one. How about recognizing the value? Recognizing the value of ourselves and each other. Understand that growth comes from resolving internal conflicts. See the whole person in yourself and others. So don't like isolate problems, but look at the whole person and look for the strengths of all the different areas. Recognize your own intrinsic value to foster deeper connections. So you need to value yourself in order to feel valued by someone else.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if someone values you and you don't value yourself, you're going to be like, I don't get it. I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. And also how you see yourself maybe is how the people see you too. So be careful how you
That's
see
true.
Yourself.
That's true. Finally, unconditional love and acceptance. Allow yourself to feel loved and appreciated even when you think maybe at times you're unlovable, which means you have to actually learn to love yourself despite what you may think about yourself. There are very good qualities about you. Look on how you can work on the things you're not happy with. Embrace unconditional love by choosing acceptance and not control. Surrender to connection without fear of rejection or loss. And that is something that is maybe a little difficult to explain. But there's a point in time in life in a relationship where you're just really happy to be with a person and you know you have no control. But when you accept that you have no control and you just love the person, you stop worrying because things are going to happen or they're not going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? And I think leaving worry in the past,
mm-hmm.
and not worrying about our relationship, it allows us the freedom to just think about our future.
Yeah.
And I think so many times people are not worried about their future together, but they're thinking about now. Where are they now? What are they doing now? Or what happened a week ago? Rather than where are we going to be in 5 years and 10 years and 15 years?
Yeah.
And when you can get to that point and just accept that you're going to be with that person, which I think, you know, commitment is underrated.
Yeah.
Right?
Something that you, again, my theory, commit yourself and then you can commit with others.
Yeah.
So everything working is before in yourself and then you can share with your partner.
So the main thing is to find somebody who you trust unconditionally. Because then when you trust somebody unconditionally, you can commit unconditionally and the worry goes off the table. You feel better.
Be transparent.
Your anxiety goes down, you live longer, healthy, happier, and have a much better relationship. We hope some of these ideas stick with you, that we all learn something from the tree theory of relationships where we're stronger together, that we each help each other to grow. And with that, we are able to bear fruit and be more fruitful in our relationship, having it become stronger and more valuable to each of us.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.